Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs as we continue our summer series in this wonderful book of wisdom. And today we continue in this series, Sad Heart, Glad Heart. This we're calling part two. There are several verses in Proverbs that deal with our psychological well-being. And last week we spent time on a verse dealing with anxiety. I hope you still have the bulletin from last week. I think there may be a few left in the back. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Post that after today somewhere around your house as a reminder of what to do. Sad heart, glad heart. And the book of Proverbs speaks of both. It speaks of a merry heart. It speaks of a sad heart. It speaks of sorrow and it speaks of joy. And today we want to consider the benefits of a cheerful heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will take your word and speak to our hearts, open our hearts, our ears, our eyes to see truth, and by your Spirit apply it to us. We pray that we will see that in Christ we can have joy and fill us with the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at Proverbs 12 and verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. We saw this, the reality of anxiety. The location of anxiety in the heart, the work of anxiety, it causes depression. It gets us down. The remedy, a good word. And then the return from anxiety makes us glad. And today we want to consider the value or the benefits of a cheerful heart. The value, the benefits of a cheerful heart. I read from a wonderful commentary on Proverbs a couple weeks ago, and I want to read again from this book. Mind you, this was not written in 2022. It was written 200 some years ago. I mentioned 250. That is a possibility based on the life of the author, but we don't know exactly when he wrote it. We just know when he lived. And his life was 1749 to 1820. So 200 some years. And listen to this on this verse, Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Listen to this. There is so close a connection between the soul and body that when the latter is pained, the former feels its pains. And when the mind is oppressed with grief, the body cannot enjoy its health and vigor. On the other side, a healthy body is of great advantage to the operation of the mind, and the joy of the heart spreads itself over the countenance. It makes the eyes brisk and sparkling and gives a pleasant grace to the aspect in the eyes of every beholder. This next line is rather funny. Think about it closely. If one could paint as well as Jezebel, remember Jezebel who painted her face? If one could paint as well as Jezebel, he could not make his face so lovely as it is rendered by the cheerfulness of the Spirit. That's great. I love that. There's no makeup job that can match the cheerfulness of the Spirit. He goes on to say, everything that tends to promote a well-regulated joy in the mind is valuable, for it serves both soul and body at once. Meekness and contentment with our lot, peace and love, afford a continual feast to the mind and make us agreeable to others. These virtues are not to be acquired in their true excellency, but from God, for they are fruits of His Spirit and are the property of the believer in Christ. Christians should remember that to rejoice is their duty, their privilege, and an ornament to their profession. An ornament to your profession of faith in Christ, rejoicing in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So turn with me to Proverbs 15 and verse 13, and let's consider benefits of a cheerful heart. First of all, a cheerful heart reflects on the face. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs tells us the benefits of a cheerful heart with the contrast of a sad heart. If you've ever had a CAT scan or a PET scan or an MRI, you may hear words like this. We're doing this with contrast. And so injected into you is a dye or a chemical of sorts. And then when they read this, it lights up the problem area, the infection or the broken area or something like that. So Proverbs gives us the benefits of a cheerful heart with contrast. We see also the sorrowful heart as well. Proverbs 15:13, one benefit is this. It reflects on the face when we have a cheerful heart. A rejoicing, a merry, a glad heart makes the face joyful. That's just great. When the heart has joy, it's going to be shown. When the heart has joy, that is, when it's glad, when it's merry, when it's joyful, when it is uplifted, then the face is made good. The face is made good. Translated here, the face has a cheerful countenance. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. The face is good. And this word means to be good, to be well, to be glad, to be pleasing, or to make glad or rejoice. So when the heart is cheerful, then it shows on the countenance. The merry heart makes good this countenance. It makes a cheery countenance. It makes it good. It is made glad and joyful. The face reflects the heart. So what lies deep in the heart can evidence itself on the face. And Christians have a duty to rejoice in the Lord, a duty, a privilege to praise the Lord, and yes, it can reflect on our countenance. There's a little lady, well, she's actually not so little. She sits inside her driveway. I see her on my walk with the dog, and I speak to her in French. And sometimes she starts rattling off, not knowing my French is very limited. But just a greeting to her, her face just lights up. And I believe that she knows the Lord. I haven't asked her that yet. We do have a language problem. But here is this grandma sitting here, and I go by, and when I greet her, it's just a blessing. And sometimes she'll greet me first. And the other day, I was thinking of some words. I hope I got them right. I say, Le Seigneur est bon. The Lord is good. And she lit up like this. It was great. And there seems to be a witness here. And this happy face. The Lord is good. And it should show on our face. We have the best things that have happened to us. You say, yeah, but you don't know about me. You don't know my problems. Are you a believer in Jesus? Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. The best things have happened. And so why do we frown? And if you're guilty, so am I. I've had my days of frowning. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Would you turn in your hymn book to 526? These words start going through my mind, so I pulled the hymn book off the shelf and looked at it. This is just amazing. Just amazing. We've already sung about In My Heart There Rings a Melody. 526. Notice these words. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul can sing. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Praise the Lord. A merry heart. It makes good the countenance, makes the countenance cheerful. But I want you to notice the contrast here and follow in your notes to see this. Notice the contrast. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The contrast, sorrow of heart breaks the spirit. When the heart has joy, when it's a rejoicing heart, then the face is made good. It can rejoice and show that joy. But when the heart is broken, there's sorrow in the heart, then the spirit is broken. I had to ask myself, well, wait a minute, what's the difference here between your heart and the spirit? If your heart is your control center, what is the spirit here? Is this the same? Because it seems to be different here. I believe it's this. The heart indeed is the innermost being. It's the control center of our lives. And here the use of the word spirit is our disposition, our demeanor. And that demeanor can be indeed broken. I'm interested in the first part, by sorrow of the heart. By sorrow of the heart. The word is the word for pain. This Hebrew word translated here, sorrow, means hurt or injury or pain. Our innermost being can feel pain. It can suffer hurt. And it can have deep sorrow. Many of you have had that. You know what deep sorrow in the deep recesses of your heart is like. The heart is in pain. In fact, sometimes these pains are much harder to deal with than a physical pain. You have a terrible pain and you're having trouble walking and find out that you have a sprained ankle or even a broken bone. And you go to the doctor and he does an x-ray and he says, we've got to set this bone or you've got to wear this cast. He can easily identify it and fix it. And it comes to healing. That seems to be easier to fix than someone with a downcast heart that's in grief and pain. Jesus fully, completely understands. Bible students have asked, why did Jesus weep at Lazarus' tomb? There are many suggestions. He understood the effects of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's certainly true. He was grieved because they didn't believe that he was the resurrection and the life. That's a possibility. But I really think there's something very simple and very basic, and it's this. Jesus entered into human pain. His friend died, and he wept. He wept. He understood. He understands our pain. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be being betrayed by someone. It could be a very deep pain that it's hard to even express it, hard to even pray, perhaps. But the Holy Spirit interprets, intercedes. He understands and prays with groanings that cannot be uttered. I want you to notice this word pain used in the book of Job. I have it in your notes, but turn there in Job chapter 9. See this for yourself. I thought this was so interesting how it is stated here. Job is dealing with his intense pain. Think of his physical pain. He's scraping his boils with broken pottery. But he lost his children. He lost his livelihood, his business, his success, his wealth, but he lost his kids. Job chapter 9, verse 27. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile, he's saying, if I could say that, then, implied, verse 28, I am afraid of all my sufferings. That's our word for pain, suffering, in Proverbs. I'm afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. Did Job ever have sufferings? So the heart can have suffering. It can have sorrow. It can have deep pain. Look at another use of this word, Psalm 147 in verse 3. What a blessed verse this is. Psalm 147 in verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Wounds, that's our word for pain or sorrow. He binds up their pain, their sorrows, their wounds. What a beautiful picture. And notice the next verse. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. He knows everything, even the number and names of the stars. And he is mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. And it's that one who can bind up our wounds, our sorrows, our deep pains. So sorrow of the heart is very real. Our inmost being can suffer hurt and pain. And these pains are often harder to deal with than physical pain. But the Lord is the healer of deep, intense, emotional wounds. So go back to Proverbs 15:13. But by sorrow of the heart, so when the heart is in pain, then the spirit faces brokenness. Brokenness. One's demeanor is brought low. One's face is sad. One's disposition is shriveled up. One's energy is reduced. And one's vitality is gone. Don't raise your hand. Maybe there are some of you who have never had that happen to you. Young people, children, I hope you haven't had that happen to you. But I have some bad news for you. It probably will. Most of us adults, we've gone through some of this. Our spirit is broken. Our energy is reduced. Our vitality is gone. Because of grief and suffer. But that's the bad news. The good news is the Lord binds up the wounds. He binds up the wounds. So you can look to him. He's sufficient. Here are some translations. A joyful heart makes the face cheerful, but by a painful heart, the spirit is broken. Another one. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. Crushed. But he's the binder up of those who have a crushed heart, a broken heart. Yes, a cheerful heart reflects on the face, but a pained heart breaks the spirit and the disposition. What is the benefit of a cheerful heart? It gives us a cheerful countenance. And should we have this joyful heart? Yes, in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come. My cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. The second benefit, a cheerful heart refreshes with a feast. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. And evil in this context doesn't mean necessarily sinful evil, but calamitous or miserable, that kind of evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So here we start with the sad heart contrast. The days of affliction bring misery. Sometimes affliction comes to us. And we may suffer misery from being poor, humble, needy, whether in body or soul. Either one. The word afflicted here, that's what it means. The poor, the afflicted, the humble, the needy. And those times may come into our lives where we are facing days of affliction and misery. There may be times when we choose misery by rejecting God's remedies. We're there because we want to stay in that miserable place instead of looking for God's remedies. We may not look beyond our affliction to God's purposes and plans. I received a phone call from a stranger 3 or 4 months ago. As far as I know, I never met this person. And they called me in a ministry connection. They wanted me to attend some event. And I told him what I was going through at the time. And this brother said something like this. Well, who allowed that to come into your life? Whoa. Exactly. Exactly. There is no evil, no misery that comes into the life of a believer without first having gone through God's permission desk. The devil came before God. God said, if you considered my servant Job, oh, you blessed him. That's why he serves you. Try him. You can't kill him, but you can reduce his life to miserable conditions. And the devil took away his children, his wealth, his livelihood, even his health. And Job realized, I came into this world without anything. That's the way I'm leaving this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did not sin. So when we fail to see God's purposes and plans, you meant it for evil, Joseph said. But God meant it for good. Therefore, I can forgive you. What a blessing. So the days of affliction may bring misery upon us. But a cheerful, good heart supplies a banquet. He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. A cheerful, a good heart supplies a banquet. A good heart, literally. A good heart, one that's been uplifted, that's cheerful. It has a banquet continually. We don't have to remain miserable. We can enjoy emotional and spiritual food and drink, even in adversity. as flowers turned upward toward the sun. We can have peace and joy through affliction by looking up and having the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Maybe this message is just for me. I've actually been a little miserable the last couple of weeks. It's amazing how God does that. Okay, son, let's test this out on you. I need it. Will you turn back to Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah 8:10. I love this line, 10C. We'll read the whole verse, though. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared." There's a banquet. "For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You see that? A merry heart has a continual feast. A joyful heart attends a banquet, and the joy of the Lord can be our strength. This is a great verse. Think about this. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a great little chorus about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He fills our mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. I like that version. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So a continual feast, a benefit of this merry heart, this heart that has joy, that has something to feast on. And I tell you, the Word of God is a continual feast. On the days that I was on the prednisone, I went to a couple of doctors beforehand and they prescribed what this chemo would look like. And this one doctor from a famous clinic in Manhattan, his son talked to us, gave his examination. He said, "You need R-CHOP, and the P is for prednisone." I said, "What does that do?" He said, "It'll make you crazy." I appreciated his honesty. And I said, "Well, I don't want to do that." And so you're wired and up at 3 a.m, but I can tell you this, that is some wonderful time of day for quiet time, a time to be in the Word. What a blessing. And so whatever we may go through, we can have joy in the Lord and we can have a feast through the riches of the Word of God. The devil wants to do this. He wants you, when you're in that affliction, those days of affliction, those miserable days, he wants you to turn away from the Lord. He wants you to say, "I don't have time for the Word." And God wants us to turn to him and to the Word. Look at chapter 17 of Proverbs. Here's the third benefit today. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A cheery heart, a cheerful heart, remedies a fault. This is just great. This is a good verse to share with your doctor, especially if he's Jewish or she's Jewish. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A doctor friend some years ago said to me, "Exercise is twice as good as medicine." And so there is great value in getting endorphins flowing and to get off the couch, off the chair, and to move. We do better physically if we move. Our spirits are better when they're elevated, when we walk, when we move about. And a merry heart indeed does good like a medicine. Exercise is better than medicine sometimes. Want to lower your cholesterol, your sugar? Get some exercise going. A rejoicing, merry, glad heart acts like medicine. And here is the Darby translation from about 100 years ago. A joyful heart promoteth healing. I like that. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. So we have joy in Christ and we reflect joy instead of camping out in misery camp, and it can promote healing to body, soul, and spirit. Cheerfulness of heart acts as a medicine in the soul and spirit and body. There's a book, I think the title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Pleasant stories to help us in our soul. The book of Proverbs, the whole Bible, indeed, is better than chicken soup for the soul. There are times we need medicine, absolutely. Thank the Lord for the medical expertise to be able to provide that. But we need a heart that is set on rejoicing in the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see, because this is amazing. George Lawson alludes to this over 200 years ago. Think of all the advancements that have been made in medicine and psychology and psychiatry and all of that. God knew the connection between body and soul long before we did. He made us. So there's a very real thing called psychosomatic illness. It's a very real thing. It's when what goes on in the psyche, which is the Greek word for soul, affects the soma, which is the Greek word for body. So psychosomatic, what goes on in the soul affects the body. Absolutely. And people can worry themselves sick, worry themselves into some bad condition. Sin can affect the body. Many times people who face mental illness, I didn't say every time, please don't misunderstand. But sometimes the root is unconfessed sin. Guilt that indeed can make you crazy. It was always interesting why you go to someone who just killed several people and then he or she gets off the hook because they're mentally ill. Was that before or after they killed all these people? I think if you kill people, it will make you crazy. Amazing. But psychosomatic illness is a very real thing. So let me put it like this. Getting the heart in a right relationship to God and others produces cheer. And cheer can contribute to physical, emotional, spiritual well-being. What a great verse. A merry heart does good like a medicine. So let's look first spiritually and get in a right relationship with God, have our sins forgiven. And this is where everyone needs first to be saved. Come to the cross. Jesus can forgive. Yes, he can even forgive murder. You name the sin, he can forgive it and give someone joy. I've told you many times, or at least a few times, about my friend who's in heaven now. His name was Adam. He had been on death row for murder. I knew him as a free man, forgiven man. And he had such a joyful spirit and a sense of humor. He could just make me laugh. He taught me, Pop Yates, I called him. He got right with God. In prison, his life changed. A right relationship with God and others can produce joy inside. And that cheer then can contribute to our physical well-being. We need salvation, sins forgiven, to be on our way to heaven. Praise God, he can forgive our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, forgives us from all sin. Now notice the other part of this verse, the contrast. But a broken spirit dries the bones. And now we have this spirit again, a broken spirit. And that's what we had in chapter 15, verse 13. Sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And so here we have a broken spirit, chapter 17, verse 22. And it tells us a little more about what a broken spirit can do. Brokenness of spirit affects one's physical vitality, Chapter 15, verse 13 told us about brokenness of spirit. Our demeanors brought low, our faces sad, our dispositions shriveled up, energy reduced, vitality's gone. But chapter 17, verse 22 gives some more detail. It says it dries up the bones. Bones? The bones here, apart for the whole. This note from the Net Bible, the crushed spirit refers to one who is depressed. Crushed is figurative and implied comparison for the idea that one's psyche or will to go on is beaten down by circumstances. And another note, the bones figuratively represent the whole body encased in a bony framework. Fat bones in Scripture means a healthy body, but dried up bones signify unhealthiness and lifelessness. So brokenness of spirit can affect us and take away our zeal, our vigor, our healthiness in life, our vitality. So bones here represent the whole body, which is affected by the brokenness of spirit. A broken spirit affects the whole being. Turn with me to Psalm 51. This is an amazing passage of Scripture written by King David. And this psalm has a detailed inscription. Notice before verse 1, it says, the inscription, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Month after month went by. David held his sin. Nathan goes to him, tells a parable about a rich man who took the little lamb of this poor man who loved that lamb, nurtured it, cherished it. David was enraged. I can see Nathan the prophet pointing his bony finger right at David and said, "You're the man." And God used that to convict David. He repented. Verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. God, I acknowledge I have sinned." David talks about original sin, verse 5. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop." That leafy branch that was dipped into the blood on Passover, and then it was applied to the doorpost of the house. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." Get this, "that the bones which you have broken may rejoice." David had broken bones. His whole being was broken because of unconfessed sin. The bones part for a whole. "Purge me, take away this sin. I want to hear joy again." In verse 9, "Hide your face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." Praise the Lord for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, who can return us when we have a dried up spirit because of sin. Broken bones, as it were. And our broken spirit has affected our whole being, but we come and we find cleansing and forgiveness. And then once again, we have joy in our hearts. And that merry heart then is like a good medicine. and we rejoice in the grace and mercy and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. So three benefits of a merry heart, but with contrast. Let me apply this three simple ways. Gladness of heart comes ultimately from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, is love. What's the next one? Joy. Joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us when we trust in Christ as our Savior, who will forgive our sins and make us clean and give us eternal life. Joy comes when, even as believers, if we sin, we come to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, yes, I sin. I acknowledge it. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I feel like I'm shriveled up in my being. I want the joy restored. Cleanse me of the sin. And the promise to God's people, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say the same thing about it as God says, we don't blame somebody. Oh, they did this, they did that, that's why I did. No, I did it. I sinned. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I couldn't help it. I sinned. Confess. Say the same thing about it God says. Then we can be cleansed and forgiven. And we can have the joy in our hearts again. So let me ask today, is your heart weighed down by sin? Come to the cross and believe and be relieved of this great guilt. Believe the gospel. Christ died, He was buried, He rose again. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then to a believer, maybe I'm speaking to someone, are you stuck in a pattern of brokenness and bitterness and even unconfessed sin? And turn from that and look to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit may give you back a merry heart.